Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Shattered Silence. My name is Jory, and today I am here with Craig Harrison. Craig, thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Jory.
You're kind of a staple in our community.
Well, I'm very blessed. I grew up here, and I've ministered here for many years, so it's a blessing to be a part of this community. I'm very excited about the work you're doing.
Thank you.
And connecting people, especially through grief.
Yeah. You know, it's not a topic that anybody really enjoys talking about, but it's important and it happens. It's life, you know. You actually, one of the first times I feel like I've actually met you was when my cousin passed away. Mm-hmm. You were a huge help to my family when he passed away, and I remember that very clearly. But yeah, I think the biggest thing that people don't think about is just after losing a loved one, especially to suicide or an overdose, just the grief that grief and the guilt that you go through afterwards. So we kind of just want to talk about just the way you kind of cope after.
Well, okay. And it is. It's a very involved subject. I was a Catholic priest, worked as a priest for 35 years, chaplain with the police, sheriff, highway patrol, called out on suicides, overdoses, and things like that. And for 35 years, I've worked with families through the grief. I've done their services, mm-hmm. so I'm meeting them at the beginning of their grief, and then I still see, for example, Nellie Martinez. Her daughter was kidnapped and murdered here in Bakersfield 35 years ago. She was 5 years old, and Nellie and I still do things together. Mm-hmm. So with grief, sometimes it's forever. I pretty much specialize now with working with grief and trauma, mm-hmm. work with a number of mothers that lost all their children at one time, and still continue. I think I have done in the last 3 or 4 months, 5 suicides, services for families. And so to me, it's a topic where we need to get rid of the stigmas, mm-hmm. and all that goes with it. And that's where the guilt and
right.
all that comes.
Right. And I mean, speaking from personal experience, you know, mm-hmm. after Kyle passed away, it's the constant questions of what was he thinking, and like wanting to just get the answers, but knowing you just never can talk with them and get those answers. And so finding a way to cope with that and that guilt is difficult.
And I think that's the normal thing. So I'll, like a scenario I'll give you of one I'm working with right now. Her child, great kid. I've known him since he was young. And I've had this scenario a lot actually recently, probably, and I'm talking about 30 in maybe the last 5 years, mm-hmm. where the person suffered from an addiction, mm-hmm. drugs or alcohol, in and out maybe of rehabs, mm-hmm. periods of time not using, doing great.
Right.
And then they go back and they use something, and it takes their life. Mm-hmm. Some of them suffered from depression. Some of them, it was just putting a drug back in their system that their body couldn't do, and mm-hmm. it overreacted. The word suicide even. To me, being raised and born a Catholic, mm-hmm. Even in our faith tradition, it was always taught that if you committed suicide, you went to hell because mm-hmm. you were personally choosing to do this. In the 80s, after the psychological revolution, and we learned more about the brain and how people think and do, we realized that they really didn't have the free choice that mm-hmm. we say. In the technological terms in the Catholic faith would say, if you committed a mortal sin, if you knew what you were doing and you were freely choosing to do it, and that was a mortal sin, can't go to heaven. Mm-hmm. Well, we realized that people with addictions aren't really freely choosing to do anything.
Right.
So you got the one person who is inwardly suffering. We don't always know their suffering level. I wish I could tell you how many people said, I didn't know it was that bad, or I thought they were getting better,
right.
or I never thought it would go that far. And you can't go back. Mm-hmm. And you brought up a great point. Oftentimes you're never going to know the answers, and mm-hmm. you have to settle with the fact that I won't know exactly what they were thinking
right.
and what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even within my own family, my sisters, one of my sisters died from mixing alcohol and fenfen, the diet pill.
Oh.
And she'd been told not to take it, but she was getting it from Mexico. And she'd suffer from depression on and off. So here she is, and on the same day she books a flight to go to New York and visit some friends. She has a 10-year-old kid. And hours later, she's dead on the floor at 41 years old. And was it the depression? Was it, did she know what she was doing? Mm-hmm. Did she not know? We will never know as a family. And it was gut-wrenching. This is my own family. This was 17 years ago. Her anniversary was January 25th that she died. And so even as a personal thing in my family of, you know, did my sister take her life? Did she not take her life? And this just ripped through our family.
Yeah.
So when I work with people, the first thing that always happens, I believe, is the grief. The grief is crazy.
Right.
Because even in my own family, I was doing a wedding in Napa Valley, and I get the call, and I was looking for my sister because she had a meeting, and she didn't show up, and they found her at her home in Newport, dead, and they called me, and I didn't want my parents to find out from somebody else, so I got on a plane, flew home in a storm, tell them, and had to fly back and do the wedding. I was an emotional wreck, and I did for probably the first maybe 6-7 months, after you get the funeral, after you get all that, was like, why didn't I see this? My sister, when she came to town, she stayed with me. I kind of like, I do this for a living. Why did I not see this? And the guilt of my parents, too. My mother had said, I always think this was funny. My mother and my sister would always have, my sister had a store here in Bakersfield called Chic Shack. Mm-hmm. It was a furniture store. And she's very popular and did a lot of, did great things. And she was a twin. And my mom and dad loaned her money and stuff for the business. So my mom would always be arguing. My mother was very practical. And the night before my sister died, my mom and her got in an argument about, you got to pay those bills. You can't just take the money in. You got to pay those bills because we're on the lease and all that. And my mom was like, Craig, my last conversation with her was we were fighting. I go, Mom, you guys fought all the time. That was no different. That's how you live. And I remember my mother laughing just like you did. Like, you're right. Like, don't overanalyze this. That was your relationship with her. Her 10-year-old son, you know, his parents were divorced. It was like a major thing for him. What do I do? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
So my first thing when anybody does this is I have the do's and don'ts list.
Yeah.
And I try to teach this. And I do a talk monthly at the Crystal Palace called Reflections. And I bring this up all the time. Is there's do's and don'ts when people die for whatever reason they die. One is be careful of the things you say. You know, like they're in a better place. No, where should Kyle be? Be home with his family.
Yes.
Where my sister should be the mother and that. You don't say things like that.
Right.
People don't need you. You're never going to take away their pain.
Right.
And so don't even try. That's, to me, one of the number one things. Just the ministry, what I call a presence. Just be there with them.
Right.
Just sit there with them. And, you know, if you bring food or whatever, great. If you feel like they want privacy, leave them alone. But be there. I think the other thing is things like religious things that people do. No offense, but when people lose a loved one, the last thing they want to do is hear about God. You know, they're in place. Oh, it's God's will. What God wills this child
to die? Yeah, it's all in God's
timing.
And
I go, you know, until you're in that spot, when you're ever in that spot, you learn.
Right.
I'm never going to use those lines. You know, oh, the Bible says this and that. I'm going, don't.
Right.
I said, and one of the things that I have found in my ministry with people with grief is nobody wants to talk about the person that died. They think, for example, like people don't want to talk to you about Kyle because they think it's too painful for you and all that. And yet the ministry you're doing right now, doing these podcasts, is exactly how you give purpose and meaning to Kyle's life. So when I work with mothers who have lost all their children. I have a number of them that have lost all their children at one time. Three in a fire. What do you talk? You know, what do you do? What I do is I talk about their loved ones. Mm-hmm. We have in our community Patty Reese, for example. Patty had two children, went to Garces, in the military in San Diego, and sister went to go visit him, mm-hmm. and the roommate killed them both, shot them both, and then shot himself, killed another guy too, on an evening out when they were just great kids, good kids. Yeah. And I watch Patty. You got to get Patty on here because Patty is amazing. So Patty's taken her grief, and she's turned it around to helping other people mm-hmm. who have lost children. And Patty loves, I love her posts. I love the things she does because she posts about those children, their mm-hmm. anniversaries, what they did. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the most important things about suicide in this. Not shame.
Right.
The NAMI walk, for example. So many people in Bakersfield for mental health, suicide. So many people are ashamed to say, oh, my kid overdosed, or my husband overdosed in this. What does that mean? It means absolutely nothing.
Right.
They died. We don't know exactly what was going in his thoughts, mm-hmm. in his mind. Are they there? No. When people take their own life, they're not mentally focused.
Right.
They're hurting.
Right.
And, you know, there was a commercial I saw on TV I thought was the best I'd ever seen. It showed a cheerleader cheering at a game. It showed people very active and just, and yet they were the ones that ended up taking their lives mm-hmm. because they can put on that front.
Right. And I feel like that's so common. That's so common with those that are dealing with suicide and addiction. You know, it's just this tough, happy exterior, and then behind closed doors, they're really struggling.
We have a message from our sponsors, Aspire Counseling Services. We just want to remind everyone that seeking treatment should never be stigmatized. Aspire specializes in providing support and treatment for both teens and adults with mental health and substance use disorders, recognizing that these conditions often do coexist. They are an amazing resource, and you can get started by texting or calling the number 888-585-7373 to enroll at any time.
And then add to that, I don't know in Kyle's situation, did you find Kyle?
I did.
Okay, so there you add a whole nother thing mm-hmm. of the trauma of seeing that loved one
right.
dying or trying to call ambulances and what do you do and mm-hmm. and all of that. So you even add another thing. And mm-hmm. then and that, and I think that the guilt of everybody is, what could I have done? And that's why awareness to me, conversations like this mm-hmm. are so important, that people can respond to people. People can reach out. And nowadays, too, services, like you're reaching out to a specific group of people, which I love, which are survivors of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of people that reach out. We were talking earlier about, like, Scott Hume with Aspire, where places mm-hmm. where we can send people to get help with professionals.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens to us afterwards? Because
mm-hmm.
only two things happen to people after you lose. I don't care if you lose a husband of 50 years, you lose a child, you lose a teenager in a car accident, somebody over there, it's all the same. One of two things happen. You either die inside,
mm-hmm.
or you turn that into a life-giving light.
Mm-hmm.
I call it divine grace, where it's what you're doing. I'm taking this craziness and this pain and this loss, and I'm going to shed that light to people out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give it to them, and even just by sharing that we all know what it feels to feel uncomfortable about it, not know what to say,
mm-hmm.
can't explain it. I want facts. You had Elaine Suarez on your mm-hmm. program, and Elaine's an amazing woman,
yes.
and she has processed that. And I remember one day she came over to see me, and she had a disc of the scene where her son was found after his overdose.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want to see it. And she goes, but she wanted to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked me to look at it, and I looked at it. And I said, when I was done with it, I go, you don't need to see it. There is nothing there that's going to help you. Mm-hmm. And she's really trusted me. She hasn't looked at it. We were talking about it the other day. It's not about the facts. It's about the process. And I think, Joy, that's what you're doing. That's the beauty of what you're doing. How many years has it been since Kyle?
It's been just almost a year and a half.
Okay. Still raw.
Yeah.
Still fresh.
Yes.
Still the thoughts of that time when you found, had he died when you found him?
Mm-hmm.
So he already died. So mm-hmm. that trauma. So for you to be a year and a half of this,
mm-hmm.
hats off to you to say, I'm talking about it because I don't want to go in those dark places.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there. Do you guys have children?
Yeah. My son's two.
Okay.
Yeah, he was 9 months old when he passed.
So then it's how do I keep his father and that memory alive in that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you summarize, and I mean, I'm throwing this at you, like this is what I would say to anybody that came into me.
Mm-hmm.
I won't charge you for the session. like with Kyle, is there more stuff you thought you could do?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm like, if I didn't go to my sister's house to take my son to go swimming, I would have been home. Maybe I could have been there to help intervene, and maybe he wouldn't have died from the overdose. Maybe I could have got him help in time. You know, there's so many questions, and, like, we did kind of fight the night before, so it's like, what if we didn't fight? What if I did this? You know, there's so many what-ifs, and that's something that I did struggle with for a while, but finally, I did, like, realize, you know, I mean, if it wasn't this day, it could have been another day.
Would have been another day.
And it, you know what I mean? There's just no way that I'm ever going to get that answer, so why am I going to keep circling this question, you know, and I'm just going to beat myself up about it.
And I think you honor him of being sitting right here and talking about the fact I didn't know. I didn't know what to, I didn't know how to process. And you're also dealing with his family.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with, there's a lot of people. So it's not just you and your grief.
Right.
It's all these others. And then sometimes when you're in a relationship with, or you're a parent of, there's the judgment of everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you drove him to that.
Yeah.
Or you
yeah.
did that. And mm-hmm. and talk about more guilt
mm-hmm.
and all of that.
Yeah, and I think that brings up a good point, because I have heard from other people that have dealt with suicide specifically. It's like, well, I'm the wife and my husband committed suicide, but now I have, the outside family saying, well, we weren't there every day, so we didn't know. You should have known. And then that's giving this other person some terrible guilt that they don't need on top of they're already feeling guilt, you know? And so I think that just talking about this one person can have so much impact with so many different people. And that makes me think about Kyle. Like, the day that he passed away, he was calling a ton of his friends, family, everyone. And so not only am I the one feeling guilty, but other friends, like, he called mm-hmm. me, and I thought that was kind of suspicious that he called and called again, and why didn't I pick up on that, you know? So it's all these people, not just me, feeling the guilt of
and
Kyle.
I like your what if, because I think what if becomes should have, and then we start saying, I should have done this, and you can only should on yourself so long.
Right, right.
You know, it's like you have to stop, and you have to go, you know what, this happened. Now, let me ask you this. Tell me something wonderful about Kyle.
Oh, he had the most infectious smile, so happy, just that he was just a happy person.
So here we're talking now about a happy person and who dies kind of tragically. Now, when you said happy person and that smile, you lit up
mm-hmm.
and you did this. And to me, that is part of grief work, is when you can talk about the person
mm-hmm.
and move from the tragedy and the pain
mm-hmm.
to the joy. What do you see in, do you have a son or a daughter?
Son.
A son. What do you see in him? What attributes are his dad?
Oh, yeah. Well, what I just talked about, Kyle, you know, he's so happy and silly, and there's so many times where he's just, you know, just being silly kid. And I'm like, that is so your dad.
You know? And what I'm saying is, and that's beautiful, because that brings out what brings joy. And when we go to the light, if we sit in the darkness, You know, I was kind of like looking at the rug, and you know, it's got that black in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you focus on it, we become dark.
Mm-hmm.
And even in tragedy and loss, we have to keep looking for that light. And the light is, and one of the things that I see in our family is we have Jack, my sister's son.
Mm-hmm.
My sister, he looks like her. He has so many of her mannerisms.
Mm-hmm.
It brought a lot of joy. When he would come and visit my parents, oh my God, they would light up.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were gifted, and not everybody has that,
mm-hmm.
of a part of my sister,
mm-hmm.
that we can cherish. It's difficult when people don't have that.
Right.
But you're going to have that the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'd ask you, too, in that is, what support did you get? Where did you find when this first happened?
I mean, my family was amazing, you know? I mean, my family was there for me. My family and friends, you
mm-hmm.
know? And that makes me think of, you know, you talking earlier, like, what people should and shouldn't say.
I was going to say, did anybody do anything
yes.
that pissed you off?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, sometimes it's just like, oh, like, I'm hurting just as much as you are, and I'm like, okay, it could have been said a little bit differently,
right.
like maybe not as much as I am, but you feel for me or whatever, you know. There's certain things you're just like, okay, yeah, that doesn't help me out. But I will say just being there for me, even if I don't even want to talk to you, but just sitting
you
there with
by,
me.
You did that. You,
yep,
yeah.
That helped me a lot.
Well, yeah, I've done hundreds of services of people that have overdosed and done that. And I have a Scott Hewn would tell you,
mm-hmm.
I have a policy that if I'm going to do a service of someone who took their life,
mm-hmm.
I don't even like that they took it. They didn't really take it. They lost their life.
Right.
Or somebody that overdosed them. I said, I won't do the service unless I can address the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to pretend that nothing happened.
Right.
I'm not going to go, oh, they, no. And it's funny because families were hesitant oftentimes, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're trying to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
And I have felt it's been very healthy. And I've turned it around to, you know what, it is what it is. But let's talk about the good things. And let's also talk about mental health. And let's
yes.
talk about addiction.
Yes.
And how long did Kyle suffer from addiction?
I mean, it was off and on, like, 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
there was a good chunk of time where he wasn't using. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, I want to say when he did overdose, he hadn't been actively using. So just like what
See,
you were talking
sometimes
about.
Sometimes they take a little thing or they do something very simple and now it's laced with fentanyl and
exactly.
they don't even know. And the next thing you know, their body reacts and goes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about how or why. And you can go back and analyze people's childhood and why did they even start using drugs and
mm-hmm.
all of that. None of it even matters.
Yeah.
As a minister and all that
mm-hmm.
and working in therapy and this, I'm looking and going like, you don't have to worry about them. If they were hurting in any way, emotionally, mentally and all that, our merciful God wraps his arms around them and says, come home. God doesn't make these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are genetically inclined to addictions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go back and see it in generation to generation.
Right.
Some people have trauma and things happen and they numb the pain. I don't think we need to worry so much about all that stuff. What we have to look at is, first of all, to me, with your son, is watching him as he grows,
mm-hmm.
making sure he's well aware
mm-hmm.
that, you know what, your dad, good man. Loving man, did some great things. Here's pictures. Look at this. But he also struggled. He struggled.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that be mentally or emotionally, sometimes it's all intermixed. You can't
right.
do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Depression is a part of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think too many people, though I've done ones that have shot themselves or hung themselves, it really doesn't matter to me that anything is bad. I feel for the people that find them because
mm-hmm.
I think that's an added trauma.
Right.
And they sometimes need to learn how, like, EMDR and things like that work to get those thoughts out and replacing them with the good thoughts.
Right.
Like, I don't really remember that anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not what comes first to my my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do. I think this grief thing, and it's eternal. You cannot talk to a spouse, and you're young. How old are you?
How old am I? I'm almost 32.
Okay, you're
how
young.
How old am I?
And it's not like any. And I say this to you that I'm looking at as a 65-year-old. I'm looking here and going, here's an attractive 32-year-old woman with a small child. Will your life go on? Yes. May you meet somebody. You may go like, I'm not ready. No, you're still present. But can that happen? Yes. Mm-hmm. And would you go on? Yes. And would that even be what Kyle would want? Yes.
Right.
That energy, that life that Kyle is still here. It's still mm-hmm. available for you. It's still there to protect your child. It's there. And we can connect with that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And just because somebody makes a mistake. I think about my college days back at UCLA, and I was in a fraternity. And, you know, in those days, in the 70s, we drank, we drove, we didn't, there mm-hmm. was no laws. I mean, mm-hmm. we didn't even have seatbelts, you know.
Yeah.
And we kind of lived that. The kids say to me sometimes, they would always say, as a priest, they'd say, Father Craig, did you ever get drunk? Did you ever do this? Did you ever do that? And I would always tell them the truth that I don't remember anything since the car accident. and it's strictly because I'm like, I'm not that person anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you take some people that have gone through programs, and they're clean and sober for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's those ones that you go, like for me, I'm going, oh, Kyle, the sad part is you're going to miss out on mm-hmm. seeing your son and all that.
Right.
Though I still believe he's going to see his son
right.
grow and his son one day will know him. I believe in this whole heavenly vision. But I still look there and I'm going, it's too bad in this life
right.
you didn't. But I say that about your cousin.
Yeah.
I say that too. Here's a kid goes backpacking.
Yeah.
Fun with his buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And it just broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And his family.
Right.
And yet I look at them now and the pain is still there. The pain never goes away.
Right.
We just learn to live with it.
Right.
You know, you see these ads on TV right now with the veterans and, mm-hmm. you know, they might have lost limbs or something. And
mm-hmm.
they, you know, you lose an arm, it's devastating. Or a leg, I'm sure for people it is. But then you see what they're doing and they're walking with apparatuses,
mm-hmm.
they're doing things. You learn to live
mm-hmm.
with the pain. And that's what I feel things like this do, helping people know that, you know what, man, it's been a year and a half. I didn't know I would be so able to talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I'm not embarrassed about it.
Right.
I'm not ashamed of it.
Right.
And moving people from that fear and shame
mm-hmm.
and guilt,
yeah,
it's all part of it.
Yeah, because even when I was thinking about doing the podcast, I mean, that's a huge deal. Now I have to openly say how Kyle passed away after people had questioned, you know, I mean, someone young just passed away all of a sudden, you know, and so people are curious, you know, like they should be, but then when I'm finally like, okay, I'm gonna say it, but you know, such a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders, and the amount of people that have said, oh, I went through this too, and now it's like we have this whole community where we can talk about it, and we don't have to be ashamed.
There's
not
no
for
shame.
Them, you know, especially not for them. My struggle was, I don't want Kyle to feel like I'm talking bad on him after he's gone to heaven, you know? Like,
and
I don't want
I don't think you are. I think what you are is being honest.
Right.
And that's why I said to you, what was one of your favorite things about him?
Mm-hmm.
His smile and all. That's the goal. The goal is, yes, there might have been this flaw,
mm-hmm.
but that is not what his life is. I always tell people,
right.
like, you know, you got, you know, you'll have your family, and then you got your job, and then you have your kid and your husband. You got all of this. Nothing is summarized by a moment.
Right.
You cannot be judged by mm-hmm. a moment. God doesn't judge us on a moment. I
right.
mean, everybody fails. Everybody makes a mistake. The sad part is that kid that's on their cell phone that goes through a red light and gets killed, it's sad because it didn't have to happen.
Right.
Kyle's didn't have to
mm-hmm.
happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the part of grief is when you finally can say is, you know what? He did. This happened, and he died from it. And I don't need to feel shame. I don't need to feel guilty. Mm-hmm. I don't need to sit here and say, if I was a better wife, or if I had done this, or come home from the pool, or I wasn't mm-hmm. doing this and doing that. But saying is, the question I think that God, and the only question we need to ask ourselves is, did I love him? And you could say we fought the day before. I've done marriage, you know, Catholic priests never married. I've never been married. I go, I don't know how anybody does it. I mean, when they tell me they're married 60, 70 years, mm-hmm. my favorite was the Montoya family. And Ernie was, and his wife, they had been married almost 70 years. And he was dying. And I was doing a retreat for couples getting married. And mm-hmm. Ernie goes, they called me and said, Ernie wants to see you. And I said, well, I can come at my lunch hour because I've got 30 couples getting married and it's an all-day thing. And I mm-hmm. go, I can come then. And they said, okay. So I ran over at lunch and I'm staying there and Ernie's there and his wife's there and we're talking. I go, Ernie, give me something to give to these young couples getting mm-hmm. married. He goes, Father, there are people that have killed people that haven't had to do this much time. And I just laughed because I go, Ernie's got the right thing. And she laughed. His wife laughed. She's an amazing person. Uh-huh. But I looked at that and I thought, you know, it is. And not long after he died. And I look at marriage. No marriage is perfect. No marriage doesn't have a fight. Mm-hmm. No marriage doesn't. I think it's easier not to be married than to be married because mm-hmm. you have to, that communication. And then you add, and it could be drugs or alcohol. It could be sex. It could be, you know, I've got a couple right now where, you know, the addiction is 12 Amazon boxes a day that show up at the door. Hey, addiction goes in every area. There was a period in my life I weighed 330 pounds, ate my emotion, mm-hmm. did that. And, you know, you learn to do it and you become healthy. And you go, hey, God, in my life, this isn't what I wished. This is what I hoped for. Mm-hmm. I know you took care of Kyle and whoever's out there listening to this. God, it doesn't matter. And some people go, well, they didn't go to church. They didn't do that. I go, our God is so beyond all that stuff. Yeah. You guys, please don't fall into that.
Right.
I said, there's only one question. Did they love? I'm on the board at St. Vincent de Paul Center downtown. It's all homeless mm-hmm. people. In fact, we built that when my sister died.
Oh, okay.
You kind of laugh about this. My sister was from Newport Beach, was here, kind of snooty, you know, drove a Range Rover and all this. And one day I said to her, Nancy, you got to bring me some clothes because I got some young girls over here and they're trying to get jobs and they need like professional clothes. She comes down with her Range Rover and she has all these in cellophane and she goes, I got all my girlfriends together. And she goes, you just can't give these to just poor people because they got to respect the labels because they were all this. And I was like, so when she died, my parents and I, we purchased property and that. And we built the homeless center in her name. Uh-huh. That was our way to get back at her. For being And I remember one day I ran into a woman who was standing there. She's a drug addict. And she was standing at the fountain. She was wearing a red, beautiful, like Chanel dress. It was my sister's. Uh-huh. And she was sitting there and she said to me, I said, oh, you see that picture there? There's a fountain with my sister's picture. And I go, that's my sister. She goes, Miss Nancy's your sister. She goes, I come here every day. And she goes, I didn't realize that. She said, I always just say, thank you, Miss Nancy, that we have this nice place. And this, and I'm looking at this woman that didn't fit into this dress and uh-huh. all this. And I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. Nancy, it's on you. Yeah. We got you. We got you. This is exactly what we need to do. But I look at it, and my sister's life had purpose and meaning, mm-hmm. even though it was cut short.
Right.
And even though we can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I always look at that.
Yeah.
And I'd be saying that to you, too. It's like, how do you do this? Every time you touch and bring light to somebody out there, and they even respond, mm-hmm. text, email, a view, you can know that Kyle, his light, is still doing good in the world.
Yeah.
He's not in the ground or, you know, in the mountains or something.
Yeah.
He is continuing yeah. to work.
Yeah. And I feel like I still talk to him all the time, you know. And I feel like even, especially with this podcast, there's been so many little things. And I'm like, see, he's got his hand in this for sure. But one thing that I've seen, I'm not going to get into detail, but the family dynamic changes a lot after someone passes away.
In-laws, my sister had been married and divorced, and we were friends with him. And then the son, who my sister, she had him, would come. And then all of a sudden, now he's living with his dad, and we're wondering, like, are we going to see the kid or not see him? And all the dynamics. And everybody grieves differently. My dad grieved different than my mom. We had family friends. She's a twin. She's the twins grieving differently.
Right.
So when you say that, because, you know, what about Kyle's family? Like, you know, I don't know, but it'd be like, here it is. Do they want to be with their grandkid? Is that painful for them because it reminds them of their son? Are they mad at you because, well, he was living with you and he did this, so you're the me, you know, and you can feel that energy. And part of it is, I really think we have to, I'm really big on vibration and frequency. It's it's a thing I love to study is that, and you, by the way, have a great vibration, great energy. And that, I think Kyle comes through that also. But when you have, let's say there's a mother and she's angry that her son died and all of this, and somehow she wants to place blame on somebody else or that. You have to be able to block that vibration and energy and not be responsible for trying to. In grief, I think there's three. I have three quotes that I love. In grief. Whenever somebody comes in, I can't judge their grief. And I'm not going to talk them how to jump this. And there's Kubler-Ross's multi-levels of grief and all that. And I think everybody's different. But I think that the first quote I always think of is, if they wanted to, they would. Some people don't even begin to deal with their grief until they're ready. I did a funeral recently of a woman that died, I think she's about 80, but I remember she had one child. She was 21 years old when she died in a car accident, only child. She grieved from that day to the day she died. Cut off friends, cut off people. She stayed at home. You'd go in her daughter's room, it looked the same as the day she died. And it does. And she lived in her, and you know, God bless her husband. He walked with her, he stayed with her, and this. I almost felt relief. She was buried next to her daughter. Like, finally, she can be reunited. I don't judge that grief. It is not my place to say, you're not doing right. You need to clean out the closet. You need to do. No. If she wanted to, she would. She wasn't ready. With you, I would say, is you wanted to do something. This idea came to you, and you did it. So you're moving better. But it doesn't mean you're better than that woman. That, and I feel like she lost a lot. I knew her friends. They just grieved losing her. She died when her daughter died, and she lived a long life. The second one is you can't change anybody. So you couldn't change Kyle. You can't change his family. You can't change his friends or guilt or whatever, or hey, maybe he did drugs with this friend, and man, I'm mad at that friend because, you know, he's still around him. Everybody gets choices. So you can't change him. And the last one is the hardest for me sometimes to wrap my hands on. I can't be angry at somebody for not being who I want them to be. You know, and I want them to love me and know that I still love them. I don't want them to judge me. I don't want those people to look there or think that, you know, somebody could say, oh, she's just trying to get rid of her guilt by demand. And I'm like, no, you don't get it. It takes a lot of guts to do this. It takes a lot of guts. I just asked you some tough questions. We're, this is going to go out into La La Land. And anybody can go on it. And I asked you, like, sitting right here, like, did you find him? Did you? And it's like you did. And the more you can be solid in, again, the only question that matters, did you love him? And that's a question. You ask a mother when their child dies, did you love him? Of course I did. Did you love everything about him? No. I've always said with my siblings and all that, I love them. Would I have picked any of them to be my friends? No. But I love them. And so I'd be saying to you, it's like, this is your way of healing, touching lives, bringing light, telling people, don't be afraid to talk about it.
Right.
You know, and if it's suicide, if your kid did, a lot of times we want to say, like, there was something wrong with us that they did that. No, it isn't.
Yeah.
It's nothing. People write notes. People leave notes. And what they are, they're just acts of desperation and darkness. That didn't mean you did it to me.
Right.
It just means that, you know, I don't think we can change people.
Right.
And like you said, if you didn't, it wouldn't have been then. It could have been another time.
Exactly.
Until he figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if he hasn't figured it out, I believe God reveals it all.
Right.
And it's there. So I don't know. I just get excited when people, like I told you, like Patty Reese or Elaine Suarez and these people, where they talk about their pain and their hurt. And they do things to keep that spirit alive.
Right. So with dealing with guilt after your loved one dies, do you have any piece of advice that you typically give?
Mm-hmm. Stop it!
Grievers.
I always tell, stop
I know,
it.
Just stop.
You know what it is? What I do with people when they come in and I'm talking about grief, I like to say, okay, and guilt. I think anybody that's ever come to see me about it will tell you is, I get them talking about the person, and I go, what is it you really feel guilty for? You may have loved Kyle. You didn't like his addiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, who would?
Right.
Right? Because it takes away.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just one facet of him.
Mm-hmm.
So the guilt is getting people to go back about the love. It's all about love and light. What did you love about him?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you meet him?
At 1933.
Is that like Trout's? Oh, no, that's that.
It's a restaurant and bar.
Oh, okay, good. And when you saw him, had you known him before? Did you know?
Yeah, we went to junior high together, but we didn't know each other, like, well. We just had friends of friends.
Okay, what junior high did you go to?
Fruitvale.
Fruitvale, okay.
Yeah.
So here's a Fruitvale. You didn't really, you just knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, was this an arranged setup? Like
no,
go?
We so? Just ran into each other.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course, as always, he had his big old smile on his face. And
won you over.
Yep. And then we just started talking and had a great time. It was New Year's Eve, so,
How long did you date him?
It was going on 6 years. Yeah, we had just gotten engaged. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we got engaged in June. He passed away in August.
Okay.
Yeah.
So even there, think about it. I mean, that even adds another dimension of it. Like, this should be the happiest time of his life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that yet when you knew him, he had an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know the addiction then?
No, not until after a year or two into our relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found out later.
But even then, you loved him.
Yeah.
Even though he would go on and off.
Mm-hmm.
And when they go on and off, it's difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe it'll be this time. Maybe he's got it this time.
Exactly.
Now we have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll, you know, he'll see the beauty of that. And he didn't fail because he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't fail because he didn't live a long life.
Mm-hmm.
It just ended. So part of me is like, you go back and you go, I loved him, and you look at those pictures and you do that. And you also have to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say, he came in my life. And one of maybe his sole purpose in life. What's your son's name?
Brooks.
Maybe his sole reason his soul came into this world was to bring Brooks into this world.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, wow, there's good and there's in that.
And I honestly believe that because, quick little story, my friend passed away when I was 10. She got hit by a car. We were riding bikes together. And so I saw that trauma very young. And I feel like that kind of helped me even deal with my grief now. But the day that she died was the day that my son was born.
Wow.
Yeah. Almost 20 years later.
I don't believe in coincidences and all that. I'm going, like, new life comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You grew, even at 10 years old, to witness a trauma like that, it affects you.
Mm-hmm.
It does. But I don't know why we think that because somebody has an addiction, like, they're bad, or why somebody suffers from depression. I've suffered from depression since I was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I have been medicated, been in a hospital, all of that. Mm-hmm. I talk about it every time I would preach when I still do my things. I'm very open to people. I go, oh, you know, some kid tells me that they're suicidal or somebody tells me they're suicidal. I go, hey, it's a weird club, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To know that your mind can go to dark places. But you know what people do? They're like, wow, most people would say, like, Craig, you know, he seems rather happy. He's good. You know, I legally adopted. I have 8 children. I have 19 grandkids. And my kids came from extremely abusive things. And and they work through their traumas. And I've had addiction with some of my kids and all that. And I'm grateful that they've lived through that so far. But I'm always looking at that sense of the good and the light. And I love this phrase that I'm just focused on right now, divine grace. God's divine grace is why you're here right now. Mm-hmm. God's divine grace says Kyle's life has meaning and purpose. And you know what? I can share that with the world. And this may be what you're doing now, and it might change in a couple of years.
Right.
Who knows where we're going? I never would have thought I wouldn't be in ministry, that I would be doing private work and writing books. I just finished a book, Coffee with Jesus, which is
very nice.
Me going through a trauma, and at 2 o'clock in the morning getting up every day for 365 days and doing a reflection, and then somebody said, put it online. And so then I started getting thousands of followers, reading 2 paragraphs. It's kind of like Jesus Calling.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote them, and then a publisher talked to me, and we put it together. And I still do it every single day. It's been 4.5 years.
Wow.
And I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I start my day.
Good for you.
And I do a reflection. And my parents moved in with me. They both were very healthy people, got sick, moved in with me. They died 6 months apart. So I think about writing another book on how to kill your parents in 1 year, because they moved in, then boom, boom, they were gone.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, you laugh.
Yep.
I believe part of the healing process of all this is laughing.
Yeah.
I still, I like
a little bit of dark humor.
No, and it is. It's like Elaine sometimes. I'll get her in there and I'll talk to her about her son and Joseph, and I'll say, hey, blah, blah, blah. And then, and I'll get her laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a great thing to do.
It is.
Tell me stories about him. I want to hear him. I want to know him. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
The moment they died is one little second of their life.
Right.
What about all the way? I loved hearing, okay, we met at this bar. This was New Year's Eve. Da-da, we started talking. But we went to junior high. There was, God's hand was working through it all.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the gift that Kyle gives you.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully Brooks will come to know, even though he won't get to know him as his dad, who would be raising him, he will know of him. And he won't know, oh, he was a bad guy, he was on drugs, and this.
Right.
No. He was a great guy, but he did struggle.
Right.
And when we can talk about our struggles, we are human.
Right.
All these people watching, every one of them is hurting in one way or another, and they miss their loved one. And it's hard for me, when I was mentioning my sister, it's been 17 years. Hard to believe.
Yeah.
That much time goes.
Yeah.
My brother died 2 years ago. So,
man,
that grief, but I also look like I like to remember all the good stuff.
Right.
You
know? I mean, that's, you have to keep their memory alive. And you kind of, like you had mentioned before, people kind of tiptoe around talking about your loved one that's passed away, but it's like, if you tiptoe around it all the time, then it will kind of like remind me of the sadness. So tell the stories, tell the dumb stories of him dancing all over the place, or whatever.
Or his friends coming, going, you know what, I miss Kyle because of this. Or his parents, you know, we miss Kyle. This is what he did. Some of these mothers I work with, just recently I was working with one, and I still work with her, but her kids, they've been gone 3 years. She lost 3. And I asked her to show me pictures and go back. She goes, well, I don't think I have anything. I said, you do. I guarantee it's there. I want to see their Halloween costumes. I think they died. They were 9, 7, and 5.
Okay.
And they died at the same time. And I said, in an accident, I go, well, I want to see. And she pulled up pictures, and I'm zooming her, which is a hard thing to do because of the energy level. But she's zooming, and she's showing me pictures, one in a chicken costume and one of this, and and she starts laughing, and she's going, and I'm thinking, that's the healing. I can't, I can, but she also told me how she'll go to a grocery store, and she'll see somebody she knew or that her kids, you know, they do this, and they'll go and go around the other way because I think they're afraid to say, like, I still have my kids, or like, hi, how are you? How empty is that?
They just don't know what to say.
Right.
Yeah.
You're probably still sending out thank yous for wedding, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so when he passed, it's like, how do you say to people, oh, yeah, you know, we just got married and then, and he's gone.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's hard. It's kind of a, like we said before, if someone has not gone through it, they really just, they don't know.
They don't
They just really don't know.
And they feel awkward.
They don't know how to respond, don't know how to act. They I feel like that's even talking about it here, just giving someone a perspective from our end of losing someone.
One of my favorite things to do is on my calendar, I have hundreds of notes that pop up on my daily calendar that'll say, anniversary of the death of so-and-so, whichever. Mainly mine are people who lost their children. And I will text, thinking of Lawrence today, and then they'll call me and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And I said, well, it's on my calendar, but I said, it's not like I can you know, channel this, but I said, but when I saw it, I thought of, because I buried him 12 years ago, and I thought, I just want to be one with you right now in your pain. And you know, grief, people, you know, they worry so much, like, it's the first Christmas, it's the first Thanksgiving, it's the first birthday. The hardest are the days when it's not.
Yeah.
You wake up on a Wednesday and you go, like, I really miss them. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know, I just miss them. I saw my sister's been gone 17 years, and the other day I went by and there was at Vaughn's, they had this bouquet of sunflowers. My sister loves sunflowers. In fact, on the anniversary of her death, I do the same thing every year. I buy 30 sunflowers. I have a friend who's a florist, and she puts them in threes, wraps them, and I have a little card that says, Remembering Nancy Harrison Fry. And I hook it on there, and I go around, and I take them to any woman. If they're pushing a cart, they're on 21st Street, down there to the homeless center, and I go, hey, today's the anniversary of my sister. These flowers are for you. And I get to see a bright smile, usually no teeth.
I love that.
And all that. But it, to me, it's that. My father was the coach at BHS, athletic director at BHS. And what I try to do for my dad on his anniversary is I do two gift cards, and I find out two athletes and their gift cards to go get cleats for football, something they do. My mother was a reading teacher at Thompson and Tevis, and she loved books. That was her thing. So I buy 10 books, and I get them on sale anywhere, children's books. And I have a little label in there, and it says, Remembering Dorothy Harris. My mom has a little quote about readings and adventure of whatever. And I, I made it into a sticker, and I printed like 500. And I put it in 10 books, and I take some to the Jamison Center, some to the and I go, I just want their spirit to live on.
Right.
And when I work with people, I try it, like Elaine, we've talked about, like, she'll go out, and on that day, they have a balloon release, and friends get together, and it's just like, do it. I have another one that, on that anniversary, they make cookies and put them in something, and they bring it over to St. Vincent de Paul and give it to the homeless people. It's like, we can remember them and make a light and difference in the world.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like, I mean, I don't really have a tradition that we do yet. You know, we're still pretty early,
but you're wrong.
I guess,
but what I'm saying is, let Kyle tell you.
Yeah.
Let him speak to you and say, you know, this is something that was big for me, and then go, like, I'm going to do it. I have one mother whose son overdosed, and there's another, Aspires One, and Third Traditions is another. It's a live-in recovery center. And so her kid was in there and got out and was doing great. took something he hadn't taken for a long time, died. And what I love is every year she puts together a thing, and I think she does donuts or something like that, mm-hmm. but she takes it over to the 20-some clients that live there now, mm-hmm. and it's like, that's her way of saying is, I remember. So, but I really believe that the soul, it'll give you one day, and you'll go like, mm-hmm. hey, and then I can raise Kyle with the idea, on this day, we do something, and guess what? It's a simple little gift. It can be simple. It doesn't have to be extravagant. But this is a way we remember your dad.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm like, now I'm thinking about all the things that I could do.
Right.
Yeah, he passed away, like, right, it's like during the first week of school, and I was just thinking about all of his nieces and nephews and just how much it impacted them. And so, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, I should do something for them before they start school.
Well, one of the other McMurtries, Denison, their daughter mm-hmm. died when she was young. And they do this great thing every Christmas where they get certain things and they take it over to Memorial Hospital. I mean, they've been doing that for years. And then I just met them at the grave. It's kind of cool. On her birthday, they go to her grave over at Greenlawn, and the whole family, I mean, they were there in pajamas, mm-hmm. and they prayed a little prayer service I wrote for them when she died, and it's been, I'm going to say, 5 years or so.
Wow.
Maybe longer than that, mm-hmm. and but they all meet grandparents, aunts, uncles, they come, and they have a little candle, and they do the prayer service. I just joined them. I was doing a funeral over there, so I walked over, and they were there, and they did the prayer service, and then they had donuts. And I thought, wow, how wonderful that the one sibling wasn't even born yet, that they have a connection.
Yeah, yeah.
And it probably took them 20, 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is, you know, these are wonderful ways to remember and celebrate.
Right, yeah. Right. I know.
Let me ask you a question, like, with Kyle Gould. What do you do spiritually about it? I mean, do you... Because this is something like I like to ask everybody, mm-hmm. because not everybody is raised religious.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, from your background and where you're raised, how do you deal with God and what happened?
I grew up Catholic, but mm-hmm. I never felt like I was really connected in the Catholic Church. But Kyle always talked about church, and we just didn't go often. But after he passed away, my very last video of him was on our Ring camera, and he was singing a song to Brooks, a Miss Rachel song. And it happened to be on 8/17 was the day he passed, and it was at 8:17 in the morning. And so I just, like, Googled, like, 8/17.
Is 8/17 the day he passed?
Yes.
That was my father's birthday.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was just like... the first thing that came up was something from the Bible. It said, I love those that love me. Those that seek me will find me. And I just remember that, like, oh, he's, like, telling me to, like, look for the signs to
right,
see him.
Exactly.
And then later on I realized, like, no, it was more like lean into God and lean into the church. And after he passed, my whole family started going to church. The church that we only went to, I want to say, a handful of times. We started going to church, and then now it's both my parents go, my sister, my brother-in-law, even my aunt and her boyfriend started going.
So think of what even just this difficult time began to draw people to the light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a soul is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Some do it. I have a person I visit, she's 105.
Oh my gosh.
You know? And yet I've also been at the hospital when somebody loses their newborn.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, short light, but I've seen that light change the lives of many.
Right.
And that, what else is there in life than our light? But brings it to the point I had said before. Two things can happen when you lose somebody you love. You can go dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so the light ends.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can become light, and their light joins with your light, and it begins to have this, it's contagious. It's,
yeah.
And it begins to change people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, wow, now I'm not going out of church out of guilt. I just felt drawn.
Yeah. And that's really how I felt. And I talk about this all the time. Like, I don't know why, but Kyle passed away on a Thursday, and it wasn't that first Sunday, but the next Sunday we started going to church, and we were just going to church every single Sunday. And I think about it all the time. I'm just like, I owe that to Kyle. Like, I just know that, like, it was just this push to go to church. And my very first time I sat in church after he passed, it was like the message spoke to me. Like, it was directly to me. And I was just like, I'm meant to be here, you know? And I feel like my family, we've all just gotten so much closer just from that, just from us doing every single Sunday. We do our church, you know, and I just love it.
That's his light. Mm-hmm. Connecting with your light, touching more light, and then more light into our world. And our world is full of darkness. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy time in our world today. But I'm an optimist. I think, you know what? It's all great. Everything is changing every single moment. Mm-hmm. You're not the same person you were when you married him, same person you were when you had a child, same person you were when he passed. You're always evolving.
Right.
Brooks probably has changed so much now.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. So what happens is when we hold on to things too tight, even grief, mm-hmm. it suffocates us.
Right.
But when we open ourselves up and we go, everything's changing. You may be doing this podcast now, and maybe it'll work for a year or two for you. And mm-hmm. then maybe I'm going to do this now. It's always changing. But when we get stuck in our way and stuck in our grief, we die.
Mm-hmm.
We die. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's my message to people is, if you're stuck, get help. If you're stuck, listen to this. There's a million books out there. Listen to podcasts. Get out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
Because when your brain sticks, you know, they say that the average brain has anywhere between 80,000 and 150,000 thoughts a day.
Wow.
And we don't create the thoughts. Yeah. They just pop into our
head.
Yeah. So when you're going along and all of a sudden grief comes in and that heavy cloud, we can barely breathe and it's like that, then what do? You breathe. Mm-hmm. What do? You take a walk.
Mm-hmm.
What do? You call a friend. Or you sit in it and go, this too will pass. I just got to let it come through me.
Right.
And, or I'm going to drive it in deeper. I'm going to look at pictures. I'm going to cry. I'm going to sob. I'm going to, and then it goes. And pretty soon in time, it's less time.
Right.
It's more time.
Right.
And that. So that light is so important.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm just going off of what you said here. Read the books, listen to the podcasts. It might not be the first book that you read or the first podcast episode you listen to might not help you, but there's no right or wrong way for grief. So if this episode doesn't help you, maybe another one will, or another book will, because
the fact that
so
you're even listening to it says you're open to the light.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And go to the light. I mean, we just, you know, sometimes you meet people, and that's goes back to depression and addiction,
mm-hmm.
suicide. Sometimes we meet people and they have a negative energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark. And what we need to bring to them is light,
mm-hmm.
not criticism and judgment and you know, oh, I don't want to be around them. They're dark. No, I'm going to be up.
Mm-hmm.
I can take energy and focus at this person.
Right.
And I can do that. And that's where every once in a while, some people are saved. I've had many people say to me, I tried to kill myself, or I was thinking of doing it,
mm-hmm.
and then they didn't. And now they help people with depression.
Right.
We can't be afraid to talk about that. I mean, you know, we live in that world today.
Mm-hmm.
Addiction is here. Depression mm-hmm. is here. But I also believe the light is here. And some people do come out of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard part, is because we see the loss of the potential. And that's
right.
When you see somebody and you stay in a relationship with them and they have an addiction, then what I love that's beautiful in that is you could see through that and see the potential of Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
When he was 100%. On, he was on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
yet that one little demon.
Yep. And I think about that all the time. Like, I know we struggled. He struggled. And I was right there with him, you know, but I wouldn't change it for anything. I don't think that I know that this was the path that I was supposed to go down and we were supposed to have our son, you know, and I'm not saying that I believe that Kyle should have died like we talked about, but yeah, I do believe that I was meant to take this road one way or another.
And because you're following the light, you too will touch lives. And you may never know. That's the beauty of this in ministry. I've run into people like said, 30 years ago, you did this. I remember you were talking to me, and you have no idea I was going to do this, and you did that. And I'm going, had no clue. Don't even know who you are. Yeah. Don't even remember you. But I look and I say, you know, in some ways, thank you, God. Thank you that you used me to do that. And God's going to use you now to do the same thing. And you never know. Somebody could just be scrolling, and then, boom, you pop on. Because I'm going to take whatever we do, I'm going to post it online, and hopefully that might send somebody to yours to look here and go, I'm gonna follow this, and I'm gonna grow from it.
Yeah.
And do so.
That's the goal. I hope we can help. Just
you
like
are.
We've said, even just one person.
And you are, and I can tell you already. There are people because I've had two that have come to me. Who've seen this and done it. And they're just Bakersfield people. And this, I believe the energy, the vibration, the Spirit of God will take this and he will, somebody, when they need to see this, they will see it. And we have to let it go. We can't control that. We have to go,
right.
I'm just throwing it out
there.
I have no clue who, but you know what? If it does, then you can sit here and say, well, I brought some good light into our world.
Yeah. I hope so. Well, I feel like we covered it all.
Yeah, we did. So in this end right here, let's go ahead and before we end up, or you could just say like before we wrap this up, can you tell us like the projects that you're working on?
Okay.
Mention your books. Mention your
reflections.
Your reflections, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, the projects that he's working with. Okay.
Just say before we wrap up.
Okay. Well, before we wrap this up, can you just mention some of the projects that you've been working on?
Is that right?
Let me do it one more time.
Yeah.
Projects, right?
Yeah.
I'm like,
or what
I second guess myself.
What are you working on now or something like that?
Yeah. What are you working on
now? So not all projects.
Okay. So before we wrap this up, can you just talk a little bit about what you're currently working on?
Yeah. I get really excited. I speak once a month at the Crystal Palace. It's called Reflections. It's for men and women. It's been great. We don't even charge. It sells out. It fills up. But I try and talk about topics like this. In fact, I got to have you come sometime so I can say to
everybody, I'd love
to. You got to check her podcast. And our next one's going to be next week, which is next Wednesday. But you can go to reflections.com and you can see our schedule for that. I just finished the one book. I was happy. It sold out at Barnes & Noble and
at
Amazon,
awesome.
And they're just redoing it. It's called Coffee with Jesus.
Awesome.
And my work, I work individually with people. I have a company called Transition Ahead, and I help people transition from grief, trauma.
Yeah.
And that, and work with the homeless at St. Vincent de Paul. And St. Vincent de Paul, for local people, it's a great place if you ever have clothing or, you know, food and things. We minister to about 400 to 500 of really people that suffer from addiction and mental illness. There's other places in town, but those are ones that they can't get in there because they have the mental and addiction. And really, I'm enjoying right now in my life, enjoying my 19 grandkids. Which before, I'm semi-retired at 65, but I love keeping my hands in the community and work with things just like this, making a difference. So
I really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
I was honored to come, and I love the work you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Shattered Silence. As always, don't forget to follow us on all of our socials on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. You can watch full episodes on YouTube, or you can listen in on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.